Some agencies have moved quickly to try and embrace BYOD, pushing to realize at least two perceived benefits: reduced IT costs and the idea that employees will be happier and more productive if they're working on a device they actually like. A February survey by the IT company CDWG found 62% of agencies already are letting employees use personal devices for work purposes, and 40% of employees who can BYOD do so. The General Services Administration is one agency that's enthusiastically embraced the idea of giving workers the choice of turning in their government-furnished equipment and using their own technology. GSA recently finished putting together a code of conduct for personally owned devices. Perrin Ashmore, who works in the CIO's office at GSA's Federal Acquisition Service, says their BYOD project is about 6 months old.
Going to BYOD has been pretty simple for GSA from a business standpoint. And from a mobility standpoint, it's imperative. You cannot conduct business on a BlackBerry, but you can on a tablet. I run the portfolio of acquisition applications now. All those applications are being built with the view towards a tablet user, every single thing we're doing. So it's a big push. And again, I think our biggest challenges are really this world of have and have-nots, and the world of how much support do you give that end user.
Ashmore speaking at a recent ACT IAC panel moderated by Federal News Radio's Jason Miller. GSA's acquisition service is in the middle of a transformation project that's structured in part around the idea that employees should be able to do their work on any device at any time. Accordingly, new office space they're building only has seats for about 3,000 employees, only about a third of their total workforce. The rest will be mobile workers or teleworkers, says Dan Reese, the director of the headquarters continuous process improvement program at GSA.
And so right now, the big challenge for us is transforming our culture from what has historically been the federal norm of you show up and you have a desk and you do your work, to doing your work wherever you need to, as you need to. For us, that answer has been a mixture of telework, of going to different office locations and using a hoteling station for a couple of hours. In many instances, going to a cafe or restaurant or other venue that you can set up shop and do work wherever you need to, again, as you need to. In the GSA case, we're very lucky in that our IT strategy of any device, anywhere, anytime, really is the tool that we are using to help us execute our broader mobility picture, our broader strategy, so that we don't have to be bound to assigned workspace. We really can be flexible and adapt to our customer requirements as we need to.
GSA is supporting Apple, Android, and BlackBerry devices. When users bring their technology onto GSA's network, they digitally sign a set of rules of behavior and agree to let security software and new policy rules be installed onto their devices. And they agree to let GSA remotely wipe the device if it's lost or if it's otherwise necessary to protect government data. Ashmore says GSA employees have willingly accepted that deal, though there has been pushback when the agency has found it necessary to enforce those rules and actually wipe a device.
Some of the things that we've done to mitigate that is the device, the contents are backed up against the GSA infrastructure. So we try to mitigate those problems. However, when you start to download your personal apps onto your device, which is totally legit, I mean, there's nothing that prevents that from occurring. We only lock you to the registered marketplaces, iTunes Marketplace.
The Equal Employment Opportunity Commission is also experimenting with Bring Your Own Device. The agency's just begun a pilot program within the last few weeks. But in their case, the push came more from budget pressure than user demand. EEOC CIO Kim Hensher says the small agency was faced with a sudden 15% reduction in its IT budget for 2012, and it didn't appear there was a lot of fat to cut out.
You know, we talked about various approaches. We could wait 6 months and then eliminate all BlackBerries, because I had to cut my BlackBerry budget in half in order to make this budget. Or we could take away half of them and let just half of the people use the BlackBerries. Those were not popular. So I said, well, let's think a little bit creatively.
Hensher says they decided to do some research into how EEOC employees were actually using those devices and came up with a few surprises.
For us, what we found is, and this was very interesting, 75% never used the telephone. So most of our BlackBerry users, it's email. Email is the killer app. They never use the phone. They'll wait to go sit down at their desk, you know, and use the phone. Or they'll use their personal cell phone because it's just easier. We also found there were a number of zero-use devices. People have them parked in their drawer, And the only time they use it is when they travel.
By restructuring their service plans with mobile service providers and switching to a shared pool of voice minutes, EEOC cut its BlackBerry costs by 30%. The next step is BYOD, and Hancher says at least for now, personal devices aren't the only option for new employees.
Because we're in a budget crunch, if a new employee comes and asks for a BlackBerry, I say, oh, I'm so sorry, I don't have any to give you. But we are doing a BYOD pilot, and if we get some BlackBerries returned, I'll be happy to give you that used BlackBerry.
But Rob Burton, a former OMB official who now works as an attorney at the law firm Venable, says he worries that agencies are rushing into BYOD before all the necessary privacy and security considerations have been thought through and put on paper. Because of that, he says any potential cost savings might turn out to be illusory. That's what his firm's private sector clients have found out.
Not all companies view this initiative as a cost-saving effort. As a matter of fact, I was recently on a panel with a very high-level person from a very big defense contractor who said, no, this is not about cost savings. We don't view this as a cost-cutting initiative. And one reason is because of all these legal things roaming around where procedures have to be put in place. And enforcement and compliance with these procedures is huge, and it's costly. And so the idea that, oh, this is going to save tons of money, in the long run, it's a big question mark. But the train is gone, okay? The train is moving at a very fast speed. And so both for industry and for government, it's not a matter of should we do this, it's how do we do it and how do we do it effectively.
Burton says one thing agencies need to make sure of is that they have documented rules for what employees can and can't do with government data and personally owned devices, and make sure they agree to let agencies search and audit those devices if it becomes necessary.
You also better have that thing called a waiver where the employee holds the organization harmless. The companies are doing this. Better to have it than not. Lawyers can then debate about whether it's enforceable. But if you don't have it, there's no debate. Training is absolutely critical, too. And we are not seeing companies doing much training on the security ramifications and procedures to protect sensitive corporate data. And I would think that some of the same challenges exist for the government in that regard.
Hancher says her agency has done its homework. EEOC is currently on draft number 8 of its acceptable behavior policy for personal devices, a document she developed as part of a working group with the agency's legal counsel and HR staff.
We wrote them out in black and white as part of the rules of behavior so that as people opted in to BYOD, we had it down there. So if they had a problem with it, then they would maybe not choose to opt in. We wrote another document for use of government-provided mobile devices. They're very different expectations of privacy. We're now at the point we are giving every BlackBerry user a choice. Here are the rules of behavior. We would like you to do this because it helps us get through our budget crunch. It gives you choice. We think that you will be more productive in using your device of choice. We also tell them if you really can't give up your BlackBerry, keep it.
Choice and letting users opt in to BYOD is also key at GSA, Ashmore says. It's a somewhat different model than the one initially suggested by Kundra last year. He floated the idea of giving all employees a stipend to buy their own equipment rather than having government-furnished mobile devices at all. Ashmore says it's difficult to see how that would work in practice.
I just don't even know how you begin in the public service to say, I'm going to give you money to go buy devices. I just don't even know how you get there. I'm afraid that kind of conversation should not be had. The choice is simply, I've issued you this equipment, or if you're going to take care of it yourself, show me, demonstrate to me. We're catching up with the training. I mean, Dan, I work with Dan every day on taking people who've been in a desk for 30 years and train them on these technologies, and it's interesting. I'll just say it's interesting.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.